Welcome to the Oral History Review at the Oxford University Press blog. Occasionally, we like to break up the monotony of text posts with a podcast, celebrate the oral and oral history, so to speak. With these podcasts, we hope to give the Oral History Review's authors and editors a place to elaborate on or build upon their scholarship. Furthermore, as with all of our social media efforts, we aim to build awareness of the art and craft of oral history. The following podcast is hosted by Troy Reeves, the Oral History Review's Managing Editor and Head of the Oral History Program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Enjoy.
Thanks, Caitlin. Today we are talking to Lindsay Barnes. Lindsay Barnes is the Senior Archivist and Digital Projects Manager at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana. Lindsay and Kim Guise wrote an article for the upcoming issue of the Oral History Review, our special issue about oral history in the digital age. It's a nice long title, World War Words, the Creation of a World War II Specific Vocabulary for the Oral History Collection at the National World War II Museum. Lindsay, thanks for agreeing to chat with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our first question we usually try to ask everybody is their interest in oral history. So how did you become interested in oral history?
Well, I really wasn't that interested in oral histories before I actually started working for the museum. But cataloging and metadata are real passions of mine. And when I started working with oral histories, they really are consuming part of my job now, and I really do love them. They really are center of attention at this museum. We try to base a lot of our exhibits, both online and in the galleries, on personal narratives. So they're a really important part of our work here.
So Lindsay, I think I know this from your bio, but you came to museum/oral history from library science, is that correct?
I did. I was the first archivist at the museum. I started about the same time as the first registrar in 2008. We're a pretty young museum, so we were only 8 years old in 2008, but we've been growing very rapidly. And as the archivist, I've now become also digital projects manager. The grant that we're working on and digitizing our oral histories and putting them online has kind of fallen under me now. And
so how did you find out about the OHDA, Oral History in the Digital Age, website?
We've been working on an IMLS grant, which this article is a take on a part of that. And for we needed an advisory board and looked for some and asked around, and Doug Boyd became a big name. So we decided that we were going to ask him to be part of our advisory board. He did, and we've just had a lot of success in using the OHDA website and are really now really excited to be a part of it.
Talk a little bit about the project.
The project that it came out of was an IMLS grant where we wanted to provide an interesting kind of new innovative access into oral histories, and specifically video oral histories. So the three major parts of the grants were to create a vocabulary that would work across all of our oral histories, and then to put them online in an interesting way, and then to also have all these social media pieces attached to it. So what we ended up doing was annotating, segmenting, and indexing 150 oral histories. Our article really talks about the vocabulary creation. And what was, I guess, a little different than other vocabulary creations is that this one we wanted it to be experiential. We wanted to describe experience-based oral histories, and sometimes that brings up a different set of challenges than vocabularies that are just used to describe static items like photographs. So we worked with verbs in our vocabularies and focusing on what people in World War II experienced and then built on that. And this article is really just kind of the process we went through in creating a hierarchical vocabulary. And we talk about how we created it for World War II, but it's really written for, you know, any more specific collections that you have inside your institution. And that's really what the article is about.
So the way you were trying to create, you know, keywords or metadata, sounds like you really needed to get into the interviews in depth to pull that experiential information out?
Yeah, we did. And a lot of it, what came from in the beginning, just listening to a lot of oral histories and talking with our oral history department about what the strengths in our collection were, what was the chronology of events that most people went through when they joined the service, or the chronology of events on the home front, and then just kind of finding these key experiences that everyone had during that time.
So the next question, Lindsay, is how did the project, not the article, but the project benefit from being created in the digital age?
Well, like I was saying, we are a young institution, and we do have large collections of oral histories, and some of these collections were even created before the museum existed. Some of these include audio tapes and transcripts, and being young and not very well staffed at that time, we needed resources. We needed a strong community to help us lead us down the kind of best practices path, and this OHDA site has really just been able to find the people to talk to, find articles on how we need to deal with all of these different types of oral histories we have. Right now we're focusing with the grant on our video, but we have all other kinds of types. And we really hope that our participation with the site grows and that our grant can be as useful to others as some other projects illustrated there have been to us.
Lindsay, anything else about the project that you wanted to say in the article but were unable?
Well, because this article is just really about the vocabulary creation, it was only a really small part of the entire grant project we worked on. So there's a lot more to say on that. So I would like to point people towards our website, which is ww2online.org, and that's the number 2. And there they can see we're going to place our entire project model. So if they're interested in the other aspects of this, such as content delivery networks for video oral histories, or kind of our interfaces, our social media policies, those are all going to be up online as well.
So the next question I want to ask is, so what sort of future or current oral history projects are either being done by the museum or going to be coming out from the museum?
Well, we're absolutely going to have more oral history projects online soon. We hope to keep releasing more and more every year. This style is going to differ from the current grant site, and we also hope to offer some time-coded transcriptions along with how we've been segmenting and indexing the video. We're also going to be putting photographs and artifacts online too soon, and again, this is where this vocabulary has been incredibly helpful to us, because once we realized that we had a great way of describing our oral histories, we could also relate it to our artifacts and to our archival collections. And now this really key vocabulary is going to be the biggest tool in cross-collection searching. So we're hoping in the next few years that when you do search online through the National World War II Museum's collections, you'll be able to use this experiential vocabulary to find not only oral history segments, but also artifacts that really describe or show the experiences of the war as well.
Since you really came to oral history after you got a job at the museum, I'm wondering what working on this project or working on oral history projects at the museum has taught you about oral history.
It's taught me that they are, I don't want to say the problem child, but an interesting collections management issue in most museums, and I think libraries as well, but certainly from museums from what I've run across. And it's really important that museum communities try to understand oral histories better, and I'm really hoping that this grant can help them do that. And I know OHDA site has. They're an interesting piece just because it's not the traditional cataloging of, say, photographs or books that people with library science degrees usually walk into institutions to work with. So it's been a real challenge, but really rewarding to get to do some new and innovative, create new and innovative ways to work with them.
Lindsay, is there anything else you want to say
I did want to say thank you to Doug Boyd and the entire OHDA community for all their commitment and encouragement of others who are trying to figure out oral histories from all standpoints, from collecting and recording, cataloging, preserving, fundraising. It's just been such a helpful site, and it's such a wonderful resource. We're so glad that we can add a successful piece for us to that project as well.
All right, Lindsay, here's where we'll give out some URLs. The World War II Museum, its website, www.national2museum.org. The website that you referenced is the website that will help folks learn more about the specific cataloging/metadata project.
Mm-hmm. And where they can view 150 segmented indexed oral histories as well.
Can you give us that URL?
www.online.org.
And then we should mention the Oral History in the Digital Age has a great website, and that website is ohda.matrix.msu.edu. Lindsay Barnes, thank you again for agreeing to talk with me today. I sure appreciate it, and I hope things go well from this point forward for you.
Thank you very much for inviting us to speak.
Bye-bye.